And Exodus 13. Tonight we get into Exodus chapter 13, moving along with the nation of Israel. Previous chapter, we read of the 10th and final plague that God sent upon Egypt, death to the firstborn. But Israel was spared because of the blood put on the doorpost of their dwelling. So death passed over them. Thus we have Passover, which will start Good Friday on our calendar. We believers today have death passed over us because we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. You know, we ended with verse 51, previous chapter, and it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. Israel is now going home. Pharaoh has let them go, so he's going to let them go for a while and then chase them. But now they're leaving Egypt on their way to the promised land. And so the Lord has a command for them. Chapter 13, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. So the Lord said, I want you to consecrate or set apart or dedicate to me, the Lord, the firstborn, man and animal. They're to be mine. Now that's interesting. You see, God saved the firstborn of Israel, passed over them, and all the Egyptians had the firstborn slain. So he saved Israel, but now he's saying, I saved you from that plague, but now I want your firstborn alive to minister to me. I want you to give me the firstborn, the children and beast, consecrate to me, set apart, dedicate to the Lord. We believers today are to be set apart for the Lord because we're the light of the world representing our Lord. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6. See, God spared them. He redeemed them for himself. And now he's calling for the firstborn. And God calls all of us, the believers in Christ, the church, this unique generation. He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. We were bought by the blood of the Lamb. We today are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to the Lord, and we're to glorify him. So the Lord says, you're mine. So, at first, God commanded the firstborn to be dedicated to him, to serve, to minister, to do the work of the Lord, and animals to be sacrificed to him, to be given him the first part, firstborn. Later on, God chose the tribe of Levi for service in his house. You know, we will read how the Levites were set apart for the priestly tribe and to do service in the priesthood and special service. They replaced the firstborn of every house who was to be consecrated to the Lord. Eventually, the tribe of Levi was set apart and given a portion in the land of each of the 12 tribes, and they were to be the ministers. Why did that happen? Why did it change? Why did God choose the tribe of Levi? Well, we need to read about the golden calf event, which we're going to read of in the future. Remember the golden calf event? The people made a golden calf while Moses delayed his coming down from being with the Lord on Mount Sinai, getting the Ten Commandments. Let's turn ahead to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32, verse 1 to 8. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Well, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears and of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Now we see here, he made it. He molded this calf. And he says, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, get away from this mountain, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" So we see God was upset with him. Let's go down to verse 19. "So it was as Moses came down and he came near the camp that he saw the calf and dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf, which they had made, burned it in the fire, ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, 'What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?' So Aaron said, 'Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, 'Make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' And I said to them, 'Whoever has any gold, let him break it off.' So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and his calf came out." That's lame, isn't it? Tells us earlier he molded it. But when he's faced with Moses, he says, "Well, I took all this gold, threw it in the fire, and out comes a calf." Wow. That's a miracle. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, see, the people were just into this idol worship, that Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies. So what happened? Then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. And so Moses said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord." Here we see that word again. "Why don't you separate yourselves to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother." See, Moses said, "Wow, you guys are going crazy here, partying and all, and worshiping this image. Who's on the Lord's side? Come stand with me." And the whole tribe of Levi did. The other 11 tribes didn't. So God says, "Okay, I'm going to give you the blessing of serving me." So that then has taken over, and one has to be from the tribe of Levi and from the family of Aaron, actually, to be a priest, high priest, but others can do the priestly service. Numbers chapter 3. Turn ahead to book of Numbers chapter 3. Now, I tried this the other day. We got some gold, melted it down, I threw it into the fire, and nothing came out. It doesn't work, so don't try it. Don't try this at home. Numbers 3, verse 12. "Now, behold, I myself have taken the Levites." The Lord is speaking to Moses. "I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. On that day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. He says, remember I said that, but now I'm choosing Levi. Look at verse 41 in Numbers 3. And you shall take the Levites for me. I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the livestock of the children of Israel. So that's why, from that point on, you have to be from the tribe of Levi. And so, back to our text, he tells them in verse 3, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. He says, this is going to be memorial. It's like a memorial day in 4th of July for these people. He says, you're to remember this and celebrate it every year. Celebrate this every year. And you remember that you were delivered by me, by the strength of the hand of the Lord. It wasn't to do anything else, but remember. And don't eat unleavened bread, you know. No leavened bread shall be eaten, because you had to leave in a hurry and you didn't have time to put leaven in there and wait for the bread. And this day you are going out in the month of Abib, March-April time frame, when they celebrate Passover. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, Jebusites. And you see these ites all the way through the Old Testament. These are the enemies which were in the land, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. Continue to keep this service of Passover. Notice this whenever God talks to them. And it shall be when, not if. It's always when. When God promises, it's going to happen. And he always says, when this happens, when you get back in the land, that's going to be 40 years later. When it happens, here's what you're to do. Celebrate this. We see a couple of things here. The land was inhabited by enemies, by others. He says, but it's yours. And you're going to get it, and you're going to celebrate the Passover there. When you get there, remember to do that. Then verses 6 to 8, we went over previously, last chapter, about how they celebrate it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. He says, this is how it's going to continue on the story. You're going to tell your children when you celebrate each year, go over the story, how the Lord delivered you from Egypt and brought you into this land. Tell your children why you're celebrating it. Verse 9, it shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. This memorial feast will remind you that you are the Lord's people and he delivered you from Egypt. It will be as a branded mark on your hand and on your forehead. This Passover feast, it'll be like a mark on you of what I did. For you shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall, remember, he says he's going to do it when he does, and he's going to give you the land, that you set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. Now, some Jewish sects took the hand and the eyes literally, and we read about these phylacteries they made, even in Jesus' time. The phylacteries, they were little leather boxes which they made that they would strap on their hand or their forehead. And it contained portions of God's law. And he says, this memorial service will be a reminder to you you know, it'll like be before your eyes and on your hand what the Lord's law was and how he did this for you. They took it literally and they started to make, well, man does this with everything. You know, they take something and they make something religious or spiritual out of it and sell it and make money on it and everything else. And so they made these little leather boxes, put these God's law in their scriptures in there and put it on their head or on their hand, certain portions of God's law. And it was, God told them to be reminded that God did this and we live according to God's law and he's the one that delivered us. And verse 13, well, let's read Matthew 23. Jesus talks about that. Matthew 23, verse 1 to 5. Matthew 23, 1 to 5. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, the religious leaders. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. Phylacteries, that's what these were that he's talking about here. It's God's law, God's word, put in these little leather boxes, and they started to put them on their hand and on their forehead. They'd walk around with them. He says, you make big ones, you make them broad, and you enlarge the borders of your garments with the things on the bottom of it. So they were trying to look holy. Like, I've always got God's law right here. Now, that's not a bad idea, to always have God's law before us, his word before us, so that we live according to his word and have it ever before us. Back to our text, verse 13. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. You remember the firstborn of the animals was to be consecrated to the Lord. But a donkey, you redeem it with a lamb. You can replace it with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, if you don't redeem it, then you're going to have to break its neck, and all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So you get a donkey, it was an unclean animal. It can't be used to sacrifice to the Lord. You know, you couldn't take the firstborn like a lamb and offer it up to the Lord. It was an unclean animal. A lot of unclean animals. You would have to redeem the animal. And a donkey could be redeemed with a lamb. Instead, say, well, I'm going to give God the firstborn of the donkey, but I'm going to replace it with a lamb. Then he can sacrifice it to the Lord. But then he also says at the end of that verse, and all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. See, not, he's saying, you know, your firstborn son, instead of giving it to me, set apart for me in my use, you can redeem him. And you can redeem him with money. It didn't have to be sacrificed to the Lord. And so, you're to remember that the Lord delivered you. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 18. And so he's calling for the firstborn, but a couple of things here could be redeemed. Numbers 18, verse 15. Numbers 18, verse 15. Everything that first opens the womb, the firstborn of all flesh, which they bring to the Lord, whether man or beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man, so you could redeem your son too. Say, well, I think I'm going to redeem him, keep him. You shall surely redeem. And the firstborn of unclean animals, you shall redeem, because they can't be sacrificed. And those redeemed of the devoted things, you shall redeem when 1 month old, according to your valuation. Here's what you redeem him for. For 5 shekels of silver, according to the shekels of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. So you could redeem them. And you see later on, and not much later on, he's going to just take the tribe of Levi and use them. So this was the law at first that, you know, the firstborn is mine, but you could actually redeem him for 5 shekels of silver and give money to the Lord rather than that son. Verse 14, so it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, hey, Dad, why are you doing this? Because some would be consecrated to the Lord, others redeemed. What is this that you'll say to him? By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Well, son, this is what we're to do. And it reminds us of him going through and slaying the firstborn in Egypt and delivering us from Egypt. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man, the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord. Son, that's why I'm sacrificing to the Lord here, all males that open the womb. But all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Son, I'm going to redeem you and you're going to stay home with. You're here with me now. So God provided for that. And here again it is, verse 15. And that is going to be a sign on your hand and on the as frontlets between your eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. To remind you that God did this by his strength of hand. And you're going to have this before you forever. And they made these phylacteries to make it look religious. 17. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, so he lets them go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. You can look this in the back of your Bibles if you have maps or look it up. You can see maps of the Exodus from Egypt to the land of Canaan. There's different routes you could take. Some a lot shorter. Some went down, and some went toward the coast. So Pharaoh lets the people go, but God said, I'm not going to lead them by the most direct route to the land of Canaan, because that's, and the that part of Canaan was inhabited by the Philistines, and they were a warlike people. Plus, the route from Egypt to getting there wasn't very long, but Egyptians would be in that area too. And they would naturally be a danger to these Israelites. So God is saying, they're not ready for war yet. They're just being let out now. You know, they haven't been trained or done anything. They're not ready for war. So I'm not going to take them the most direct route to Canaan, because they're going to run into some trouble. They'll run into enemies along the way, and then to the land of the Philistines, who are a brutal people. The most direct route was the northeast route. They would, if they went up and along the coastline, do you know, they could actually have done it in about 2 weeks if they went up and along the coastline. They'd be in the land of Canaan. But they had lessons to learn. That would have been a shortcut, the coastal route. But the Philistines were a warlike people. Remember David and Goliath? Goliath was a Philistine. Even when we get way down, which was hundreds of years later, we see they're still there. And they're always enemies. Land of the Philistines. So God says, I'm not leading you that way, lest perhaps the people change their mind. You know, they might be exposed to war enemies and say, we're going back. We can't fight them. He didn't want them to retreat. So he takes them on another way. So God led the people around the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. So they sort of went down south and across. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Now we're talking probably here 2 million people. And they went out in orderly ranks. Just try getting like 30 people to be orderly in a rank. Can you imagine this? They were going out in orderly ranks. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Now, what's this about? He took the bones of Joseph. This is something that happened hundreds of years earlier, Joseph. We were talking about Jacob and his sons and Joseph being taken captive into Egypt. He took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. Joseph, Jacob's son, sold into slavery by his brothers, brought to Egypt. God was with them. He got in charge of the distribution of the food, saved that nation. And then eventually Jacob and his other sons went over there. They met, and they were there for 430 years. Long time. Of course, Joseph died at the beginning of that. Now it's time to go back home for the nation of Israel. But Joseph, we see here, believing God's word. He believed God's word that he would lead them back to the promised land, to this land flowing with milk and honey. So when he died, he made them promise, when you guys finally go back, and this is over 400 years later, bring my bones back so I'm buried in my homeland. That's faith. To say, you know, when I die, or, you know, after I die, you make sure you keep track of my bones and bring them back when you get back to the land. Genesis chapter 50, if you'd like to turn there. Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. Then Jacob took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Isn't this incredible? These people really had faith in God. Even for the future, they just believed God, just like Abraham, which we've been talking about on Sundays. Just believe God. They did. They even made provision for when God was going to do something, you make sure you do this. That's faith. They had a lot of faith. Back to our text, verse 20. So they took another route. They took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. It's at the eastern border of Egypt. That's where they went first. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God didn't allow them to do this alone. This, they call it the glory cloud. In Hebrew, it's Shekinah. You hear about the Shekinah glory of God. This is what God did for them. This glory cloud. The Hebrew Shekinah means dwell. It's a reminder that I'm dwelling with you. I'm right here with you. So, we read about this a lot in the Old Testament books here. This guidance of God, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They would move, and God was in that glory cloud. They would move during the day if the cloud moved. And just so they could move day or night, no matter what time of the day or night, God knew what was best. It was a cloud by day. It moved. They moved. If it stopped, they stopped and camped there. At night, it was a pillar of fire. If it stayed, they stayed there and slept. If it moved on, they got up and moved on. God led them. Wouldn't that be a great way to live? Well, we have that great way to live. Who's our comforter and guide today? The Holy Spirit. See, God has given to each one of us the Holy Spirit. In this day and age, people weren't indwelt with the Holy Spirit. God came upon certain people at certain times and anointed them with the Holy Spirit. But it's comforting. Can you imagine these people having God in their sight all the time? That's comforting. And you can sleep good. You know, to know God's there and he's going to know when we need to go, when we need to stay. Boy, that's great. Well, we have that today. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. He's called our comforter, our helper. He leads us, he guides us, and he indwells the believer. So next, we read about the Exodus. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word tonight. How wonderful to have the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We would always see you before us at all times. You say you'll never leave us or forsake us, God, just like you didn't your people here in Israel. And we know you won't ever leave us or forsake us. So let us never worry or be anxious or troubled, but always looking to you and have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's comforting to know, Lord, you're there. You see, you know. But give us wisdom and the faith to just follow you and be led by you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.